friends. This is Andrew Phipps. Welcome to our Faith, Family, and Freedom program today. If you'd like to remind a neighbor, a friend, perhaps this might be the ideal time to do that. I believe in last week's program, if I'm not mistaken, we shared a little bit of a clip that was done at the Midway Baptist Church in Elyria, Ohio. I enjoy going to some of the camp meetings to which we are invited. The camaraderie, the fellowship, oftentimes they have some wonderful food, and then, of course, the spiritual food. The good preaching, the singing, oh my, I really love it. And it's just a part of our Americana. It's a part of our culture, or has been, and I hope it doesn't cease. And I appreciate the preachers, the pastors that go to the efforts, and it is an effort. It takes a lot of time and money and effort to put a camp meeting together, and those of you that host them know what I'm talking about. But for those of us that get to go, it's a few days of just like heaven on earth, where we come together and we come in the right attitude, and we just want to be a blessing to others. We often say, just brag on the Lord, lift up his name. And if we do that, I believe we each one will get a blessing as a return on that. Anyway, I want to return to the church scene where we were back a few months ago at the Midway Baptist Church, where the pastor is my good friend, Rick Kesey, Elyria, Ohio. We're living in a very difficult day. I think the man of God today, we're facing dangerous times. Brother Harrison was so kind, and Andy maybe amplified on that, about how that in these days that we face these times. It seems to me that they're dangerous times. They're difficult times. They're depressing times. But then I think back to maybe how it was during the days of George Whitefield. I think maybe how it was when Samuel J. Mills and the Haystack Revival, where he and four of his buddies up there in New Hampshire got together at a haystack, and he said, "We can if we will." And he was the forerunner of the American missionary program. I get to thinking about Obadiah Holmes, Paul Bunyan, John Bunyan that stood before Judge Wingate. Judge Wingate said to Mr. Bunyan, he said, "Only a fool would try to preach without a license and no education." He said, "What makes you think that you're a preacher?" He said, "I've been called to preach." Right. He said, "Well, I know that I've given you instances, but," he said, "you've got a blind daughter at home." He said, "If you would recant and promise not to preach anymore, I think I could have leniency on you." John Bunyan said to me, "Lord, the Lord called me to preach, and I can't go against Macaulay." He said, "If you just promise." He said, "I can't." Judge Wingate made this statement. He said, "Ladies, gentlemen, I think we've heard the last of John Bunyan." Didn't know that in a prison cell, a man with a little piece of chalk and paper that was in his milk jugs would write Pilgrim's Progress about a man by the name of Christian on his way to the holy city. And he met Mr. Worley Wiseman and some of the others along the way. As we hear today, and I think Andy was led there as he fell of the Lord, I was thinking about, and I'm not trying just to single out somebody, but I've been concerned about my buddy, Brother Chuck. I've been trying to keep up with him, unbeknowing to him. And I think of the struggles, Brother Chuck. I thought about how that a few years ago, I was in Ohio, and I saw a man preaching. and it was Brother Chuck Kesey on television. And I thought I'd like to meet that man. Didn't know that God would allow our paths to cross like they did. Then last year, Miss Sue and Brother Chuck, we enjoyed some fellowship in Florida. I made Sue mad at me several times. But anyway, she threatened me on several occasions. Because Brother Chuck, it was his fault. He led me into it. And we started getting out of spiritual stuff, got into the real carnal. But we had a wonderful time. And I think about today, as a man of God, we need to have, the apostle said, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. He said, hold fast the pattern of sound words. He said, the things that you've heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men. He said, he went on to say that, look, here we need to declare God's word, God's truth. We need a purpose in our preaching, don't we? Let me give you a thought here. I wrote it down just a while ago, the doctrine of imputation. Now, I'm not trying to be erudite and scholarly, but the doctrine of imputation means that one day, God, Jesus Christ, stood before God as me. So that one day, I could stand before God as Jesus Christ. When Baptists get a hold of that, you'll catch them down by the Denny's there. You see, I think we need to have a purpose in our preaching. Secondly, Brother Chuck told me something that I'll take to the grave. He told me this in Florida. He said, Brother Andy, he said, the man of God must have a breath upon him from another world. As I travel a little bit here and there, Brother Prophet, it seems like to me, I hear some good sermons, I have some good content, but secondly, it seems like that we're losing the praise in our congregation. Is it me? Is it just me alone? I can remember a time, Brother Chuck, when men would pray and preach like Brother Rick has shown us here in an humble way of weeping over the condition of lost sinners. There was a day and time when people weren't in competition in the pulpit. We don't have any big eyes in the ministry. We have one that's seated at the right hand of the Father.
Amen.
Of him, Miss Amanda, will I brag and tell you. I want to tell you today that he's been the dearest friend I ever had. Old Pop Spear was out on the bow of that boat going to France, World War I. G.T. Pop Spear, and he was homesick. And he was thinking about home in Alabama. He said, the darkest clouds may o'er me roll. Undaunted I shall be. My faithful friend will keep my soul. I know he cares. He cares for me. He watches o'er me day and night. He makes my many burdens light. I know my Savior, Brother Ray, cares for me. Oh, we face so many things today. Seems like everywhere we turn, there's problems. Divorce. Depression. We live in a dysfunctional society. Somebody asked me the other day, they said, is it raining? I said, I don't know. I'm not a meteorologist. When we have a lady on the Supreme Court that can't tell you what a woman is, we're in trouble. When we're trying to tell people that a one-celled amoeba through a mutative process and a random selection can become what the scientists call a homo sapien, we're in trouble. Hello, friends. This is Andrew Phipps, and I believe that we need all of the materials that we can gather to help us as we combat the attack upon our faith, our family, and our freedoms. We need to be educated, and I have a handbook that has been given to state legislatures. It's been given to members of Congress. It's a colorfully created handbook that has graphs, charts, quotes, and different things in it. You'll be impressed with it. And also, we have DVDs. We have CDs that are God and Country, Return to Greatness, and Faith, Family, and Freedom, some other wonderful materials. See the contact information on the screen. Be sure that you order some because these will be of a tremendous help. They are supplemental materials to help you in your Christian walk. And may God bless. Ago, I think it was in the mid-30s, at a large station out in Texas, WBAP, I believe it was, there was a group that came together, the Carter family, or I believe they called him Dad Carter. Might have been A.P. Carter. I know there was an A.P. Carter down in Kentucky, but this Carter family became the forerunners of the Chuck Wagon Gang, and they had a talent for singing family style, good, just down-to-earth harmony, the kind that you might hear after a hard day's work and people would gather on the front porch and one or two of the sisters and maybe a brother or two would start harmonizing. And they sang just in a very simplistic manner, usually featuring the ladies in the group with a high lead alto, and they still do that today. Let's enjoy the Chuck Wagon Gang. If you'd like to have any of our products, we do have a Faith, Family, and Freedom Handbook. We have some DVDs. We did one with Pastor Jim Scudder in Washington, D.C. a little over a year ago. It's called Can You Find God in D.C.? I think you will enjoy the beautiful programming that was done in the Jefferson and Lincoln Memorials and other places. If you want any of our products, just call us or get in touch with us as would be indicated there on the screen.
Returned to England and campaigned for the 100 missionaries they desperately needed, and by the end of 1887, the 100 were on their way to China. In 1888, Hudson went to North America and spoke at conferences with unexpected results. Money was given to fund the sending of 17 American missionaries to China. 14 of them sailed straight away with Hudson. The following year, he returned to North America and established the North American Council. In the same year, he published a leaflet called To Every Creature. This was a challenge to the Protestant Church to evangelize the world, with an emphasis on China. It said that every family in China could be reached within 5 years by 1,000 evangelists. This led to partnerships with missionary organizations from many countries.
When I was asked about the difficulties working with different denominations, I simply replied, "The great work of the mission field, which is the call to us all, overrides theological differences. Our motto was, all one in Christ."
Shanghai was now the headquarters of CIM, with new premises which proved invaluable to the mission. It housed large groups of missionaries on their way to the field, and became a safe haven for the mission in times of crisis. Hudson travelled to Australia in 1890, holding meetings across the main cities, sharing the vision for the 1,000. The Australian Council was set up, and the first 12 missionaries travelled with Hudson back to China. The mission was growing rapidly, but not without its challenges.
It is hard for people to realize what it was like to be out there, to hear of their sorrows and the difficulties of our dear workers, receiving telegrams of arson and riots, or even a death from sickness, and all the untold incidents of nearly 500 missionaries. There was just one way to avoid being overwhelmed. I brought everything as it arose to our master. And he did help.
By the January of 1895, CIM had 630 missionaries, 244 mission stations and outstations, 233 chapels and 149 organized churches, 209 schools, 4 hospitals, 35 centers for opium addicts and 14 dispensaries, 306 paid Chinese helpers and 108 volunteers. 16 of the 18 provinces had resident Protestant missionaries, but Hunan and Guangxi were still difficult places to establish permanent stations. Over the years, Hudson's children joined CIM, continuing the legacy. "As for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord."
People mostly call me Jamie. Actually, my given name is James Hudson Taylor IV. And so growing up, my parents were missionaries here in Taiwan, so I grew up on the mission field and obviously within a Chinese context. And so even growing up in church, I was very cognizant of the fact that I was a part of a family that had been involved with Chinese and with the Chinese world for many generations. And actually, my Chinese name literally means to follow in the footsteps of my ancestors. And so even growing up, I was asked that question, "Are you also going to be a missionary?" At least during my teenage years, I saw this more as a burden rather than a blessing. I was pretty fed up of being asked, "Are you going to be a missionary?" And in fact, really, I didn't become a Christian until I was 18 years old. So I think every generation has to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and has to be obedient to what God might be calling that generation to do in terms of responding to the Great Commission. So as I hear people talk about Hudson Taylor, you know, I think it's a fresh reminder to me of how I'm called to be faithful in my generation, just like he was faithful in his generation, or just like Herbert was faithful in his generation, or James II, James III, my father, or for me, and a prayer for my son that he would also be faithful in his generation. To go back to Hudson Taylor's great-grandfather, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I think that verse has really been the key verse for our whole family throughout these nine generations, and even into our son's life and into his family or his relationship with his wife.
Hudson had called for 1,000 missionaries in 1890. By 1895, 672 women and 481 men had responded to the call, joining various mission agencies in China. By this time, China had been defeated by Japan during the First Sino-Japanese War for control over Korea. China had to sue for peace, paying a heavy price in war reparations and ceding territories to Japan. Hudson felt a real urgency to hasten the evangelism effort in China and launched a Forward Movement campaign. They were praying for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the believers in China and encouraging them to take up the Great Commission. In 1898, the Chinese emperor was sidelined and his aunt, the Empress Dowager, took control. During this period, Hudson's health failed him and he was confined mostly to bed rest in China. Recovering slightly, he travelled to Switzerland for recuperation. Foreign powers had been exerting their own interests in China for decades, which gave rise to patriotic volunteers known as the Boxers by Westerners. They incited hatred towards foreigners and proclaimed that all foreigners should be driven out of China. When the rains failed in 1900 and the drought followed, the Boxers blamed the foreigners. The Empress Dowager now openly backed the Boxers, who unleashed their rage. A bloody campaign ensued, where 135 missionaries and 53 of their children and over 2,000 Chinese Christians were murdered by the Boxers. The worst affected province was Shanxi.
They exchanged a murderous mob for the rapture of Jesus' embrace, his presence, his smile. They received a crown of glory that does not fade away. They walk now with Jesus in white, for they are worthy.
There were more than 700 CIM missionaries in the field at the time of the Boxer Rebellion. Some made safe journeys back to Shanghai, while others endured horrific journeys, suffering terrible injuries. Tragically, 58 CIM missionaries and 21 of their children lost their lives. Recovering in Switzerland, Hudson received telegram after telegram recounting the stories of massacres and murders.
I cried out to God for them day and night. I just wanted to go to them, to comfort them. The anguish of my heart was killing me. It got to the point where I couldn't read, think, or even pray. But I could trust in God. I knew that from God's standpoint, all things would work out for the highest good.
Hello, friends. This is Andrew Phipps, and I believe that we need all of the materials that we can gather to help us as we combat the attack upon our faith, our family, and our freedoms. We need to be educated. And I have a handbook that has been given to state legislatures. It's been given to members of Congress. It's a colorfully created handbook that has graphs, charts, quotes, and different things in it. You'll be impressed with it. And also, we have DVDs. We have CDs that are God and Country, Return to Greatness, and Faith, Family, and Freedom, some other wonderful materials. See the contact information on the screen. Be sure that you order some because these will be of a tremendous help. They are supplemental materials to help you in your Christian walk. And may God bless. Friends, it's always exciting to be with you. Thank you. Thank you that you would allow us to have some of your time. We hope that you enjoy the programming. Be sure that you tell others about it. we always are looking for opportunities to expand. We want to reach more people, more outlets, more stations. And so hopefully if you know of another station that might be interested in our program, that'd be wonderful. We always enjoy presenting these people like Thomas Sowell, the great economist who has given us common sense answers to what some people call complex questions. We've had some segments today that I hope have been a blessing. I'm going to look forward to a return visit with you next week at the same familiar time, same place, but until that very special time, this is your friend Andrew Phipps saying, may God bless you. Have a wonderful day.